I don't think Christmas is as much fun as it was when I was a kid. That's what I heard someone say the other day. I'm sure that what he said was true. The remarkable thing is that the aging person who said this to me was 11 years old. My, how quickly the childhood fun of Christmas passes. We live our lives by certain markers that signify to us the passing of time, the changing of each year. What's a more significant or memorable marker of our lives than Christmas? Each year, when Christmas comes, it always inevitably reminds us of a Christmas past. I get the ornaments for the tree out of the basement, and I think of all the years before when the children were young, when there were still children in our house to help me get the ornaments out of the basement. Of course, what I'm saying is that I think about when I was young. I'm 60. Now I say that with some regret. I'm not over the hill, but I am on my way. Being 60 has its pluses and its minuses. On the one hand, there are satisfactions. I've had 60 years of experience, and with my experience comes hopefully some degree of wisdom that I didn't have at 20. My children are grown, and that's satisfying. I can also take some degree of pleasure in any accomplishments I may have. I haven't done everything I'd like to do, but I've done some of what I'd like to do, and I can at least look back on 60 Christmases past, and so there are joys of being 60. The main thing wrong with being 60 is my body. Somewhere I read that women experience aging as a change of appearance, and men experience aging as a diminution of power. I don't know, maybe that's true. I've got a growing list of all the things that I once could do that I no longer could do. First, it was eyeglasses. I've always been nearsighted, but by the time I was 50, I had bifocals. And if I didn't wear them, I was unable to drive or read. The other day, I asked someone to repeat something she'd said to me. And so I assume a hearing aid is well on the way. All flesh is grass, complains the psalmist. And I'm proving that in my own body. Of course, so are you. We are not created to be angels. We are finite, mortal, and limited. Or, as the Bible puts it, flesh. And it's not only the body that breaks down. It's also the body that has a way of taking over. I'm feeling okay this morning, but tomorrow, just let me get a blister on my foot or a pain in my tooth, and I will bore you to death with my troubles. I had the usual clergy meeting this past week, and we were discussing important issues concerning the parish, but arthritis had made itself known in my knee. And the knee took over the entire meeting, as far as I was concerned. There were other people there speaking about the parish, parishioners, things we needed to do in the coming year, but my brain was totally consumed with, will my knee ever recover? Somebody fix my knee. Later that day, somebody else asked me, how was your clergy meeting today? And I replied, my knee hurt. Even now, as I'm talking about my knee, there you are. And if you're over 50, meditating on your crushed vertebrae, your stiff neck, your bum leg, thinking my body's much more interesting than his, we humans love to praise our higher nature. But just let one tiny little tooth begin to ache, and our lower nature grabs the wheel. I think of myself as a thinking, willing, rational creature. I think, therefore, I am. I'm the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. I'm a person living in the freest land in the world. I can do whatever I put my mind to. Who am I kidding? I've been trying to lose just 5 pounds since September, and in the last week, I've gained 3. A piece of chocolate cake has got me by the throat. My life is under the control of an extra helping of mashed potatoes. I will do damage to myself during this holiday season at countless cocktail parties and dinners, and I can't help myself. So, is it any wonder that down through the ages, the main agenda of most philosophy and religion has been what's to be done about the flesh? Plato gave birth to philosophy with the thought that you could think your way out of the flesh. You could, through philosophical contemplation, rise above your lower nature. What's real is the ideal world beyond or beneath the material world. Close your eyes, get comfortable, and think your way toward that noble, detached, more spiritual world. Think about higher, nobler, more uplifting matters, and you won't think so much about your throbbing toe. Sure, just once stub your toe, and Plato's ethereal philosophy goes out the window. I'm sure a similar drive to Plato's is behind our age's infatuation with spirituality. We've got those two natures within us. One is physical, flesh, the other is higher, nobler, spiritual. Through certain disciplines or higher thoughts or uplifting sentiments, you can climb out of the muck and mire of the carnal, the material, the physical flesh, and rise up to a higher spiritual plane. I expect this is a major reason why some people come to church. We want to be less jerked around by the physical and more motivated by the spiritual. And so the Greek philosophers speak of our bodies as prisons. Our ethereal spiritual souls are trapped in these physical cages. Through contemplation, we might escape, at least for a moment. We might rise up out of our captivity to the material, our captivity to the material, and be free. At least, that's what we thought till Christmas. That is, that's what we thought until Jesus came. You heard the words of the Gospel of John this morning. The Word, the eternal, divine, world-creating Genesis 1 Word, became flesh and moved among us. All things heavenly and spiritual and eternal touched earth, took up residence here in Him. This was His glory, says John's Gospel. We need something done about our flesh, our decaying, domineering materiality. So, on a starlit night, God slipped in among us, assumed the very flesh that we would like to shed, and was born among us. God incarnate, God in the flesh, God with us. It was a peculiar and wholly unexpected thing for God to do. After all, we think of God as the antithesis of the flesh. Carnal is what we are when we're farthest from heavenly. Godly is what we are when we're spiritual, when we rise above the decadence of this world and these bodies and waft upward. No, says Bethlehem and the manger and the birth. No, says the Word made flesh. You are animals, frail, enslaved, finite, and limited. You cannot come up to God. Therefore, God comes to you. This is what incarnation, literally enfleshment, means. This is what Christmas means. Christmas is the feast of the incarnation in the church's year. It's that time when we celebrate that God has done something about our bothersome flesh. God has become flesh in Jesus. God didn't just come close to being human. God didn't just seem almost human. God became a person with a face and a name and was born among us in the flesh. The incarnation means that if you are going to meet this God, you'll need to do it here, now, in the flesh, because that's where God is. If you're going to worship this God made flesh, you'll need to do it here. That's why you come here at a time like this, saying, I want to get close to God. I want to get spiritual. And the church, in its wisdom, says to you, here, have some bread, drink some wine. This is as godly as we get. God came to us not to deliver us from our flesh and all that flesh demands, but to redeem us in our flesh, ennoble our fleshly, frail, faulty existence by sharing it with us. We no longer need to try vainly to shed ourselves and somehow rise up to Him. No, now He descends to us, meets us where we are, meets us as we are. He makes our flesh a sacrament, a means of grace, an outward and visible sign of His inward and spiritual power. Christianity is the most materialistic religion, most materialistic of all the world's religions, says the 20th century Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple. The psalmist says, you hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot contain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Such is our salvation. Thanks be to God.